Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. And now Dr. Noel Cullerton is going to tell us a little about Sergei Prokofiev's life and music.
After one of our previous podcasts, some people talked to me about Russian classical music and were taken with the story we told about the Russian Dmitri Shostakovich. I mentioned during that podcast a composer called Prokofiev, Sergei Prokofiev, and they wanted to hear a little more about him. Well, when the Russian Revolution broke out in 1917, Prokofiev was 26 years of age and was already at that stage a famous composer. He had written popular pieces like a piano concerto as well as a piano sonata. He had also even tried his hand at composing operas. He was a brash, self-confident young fellow and was hardly aware of the revolution at all. He was a man completely obsessed with his own work and cared not one fig about the First World War, the revolution and the seizing of power by the Bolsheviks. Mind you, I think he had some sympathy with the ideals of the Soviet cause, and the new government certainly rated him very highly. One high-ranking government official said to him, "You are a revolutionary in music, and we are revolutionaries in life. We ought to work together." But Prokofiev, he wasn't that kind of guy. He was impatient. And within a few months of the new government, he became frustrated with the chaos and misery all around him. It also interfered with his creativity, and some of his concerts were abandoned, and that was enough for Prokofiev. He decided to quit Russia. Because he had got on so well with the authorities, he was granted permission to go on a concert tour of the States. Of course, Prokofiev had no intention in the world of coming back, at least not then, or at least not in the short term. He arrived in the States. He went on a concert tour which started in New York. His music was a bit noisy and avant-garde for conservative American tastes, and one called his music Russian Chaos. Another critic remarked, "If this is music, I'm inclined to prefer agriculture." He got a little better in Chicago and was commissioned to write an opera. And this opera, The Love of Three Oranges, which is still around, was premiered in 1921. And that was quite successful. And after that, he turned the corner and began to get on a little bit better. He eventually made his home in Paris, but toured successfully around Europe and the States for several years playing his own music. And he was always composing, all the time he was composing. By the mid-1920s, he had become an international celebrity. Despite his success, he maintained a hankering for Russia, and he always kept his passport up to date. In the late 1920s and early 30s, his new compositions took on a distinctly Russian flavour. He returned to Russia for a visit in 1927, and again a few years later in 1933, and he was treated with the height of courtesy by the new administration. At that stage, his music was beginning to fade a little bit in Europe and in the United States. On the other hand, his music was increasing in popularity at home in Russia. He began to think maybe it mightn't be a bad idea if he based himself in Russia on a permanent basis. It would be good for his career. He was also homesick. All his young life, he loved the solitude of the great Russian outdoors. He loved the forests, the lakes, the mountains, and he felt more comfortable in Russia than anywhere else in the world. In 1935, he made the fateful decision to come home with his two children and a Spanish-born wife. This decision was ranked among the greatest mistakes ever made by a composer. Poor Prokofiev, he paid a high personal and professional price for that decision. His naivety and his complete lack of political awareness blinded him to the harsh realities of life in Russia under Stalin at the time. At first, all went well. He was given a hero's welcome, with his music being played constantly. However, it soon became clear that he was not really trusted by Stalin or his government. His years abroad, as well as his exotic foreign wife, made him an object of suspicion. People began to talk about him. He had hoped that his music would become recognised by the authorities. The exact opposite happened. He wrote a succession of works, including Peter and the Wolf, which is a piece of music written for children, and the ballet Romeo and Juliet, but he had trouble getting both of them performed. To celebrate the anniversary of the 1917 revolution, he wrote a huge cantata for the anniversary of the October Revolution. The authorities dismissed it out of hand, saying, "Who do you think you are, taking a text known by the people and writing incomprehensible music?" Like Shostakovich earlier on, he was pilloried publicly and humiliated. His only answer was, "Today one must work. Work is the only thing, the only salvation." So he kept going. Like Shostakovich earlier on, he did get some release from persecution during World War II. He played his part in the war against the Nazis, and he contributed to the war effort composing lots of patriotic music, such as his Sonata No. 7, the Stalingrad Sonata, which went down very well with the authorities. In 1941, the middle of the war, he wrote an opera based on the novel War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy. If you remember Leo Tolstoy's novel, it was based around the story of Napoleon's attack on Russia and the invasion of Russia and the ultimate defeat of Napoleon by the Russians. Now, there was an obvious parallel with the German invasion of Russia in World War II. Despite the patriotic nature of the work, the authorities just did not like it. And in getting it ready for production, the authorities were at the back of the opera house and kept interfering with the staging of it right throughout the war. In 1944, several years after he completed it, poor old Prokofiev was so despondent that he didn't care about it anymore, and it was not performed in his lifetime at all. In 1945, he had a heavy fall and suffered concussion and never really recovered his phenomenal energy, and things just got worse. Like most artists in Russia at the time, he was publicly condemned in 1948 for having anti-democratic tendencies that were alien to the Soviet people. He was forced into making a very public and grovelling apology for the kind of music that he wrote, the very same as it happened to Shostakovich and several others as well. After that, the music he wrote was not highly regarded and certainly was not appreciated at all by the Soviet cultural officials. His health continued to decline, and he died at the age of 61. A few hours before he died, his nemesis Stalin died on the very same day. Ironically, at his funeral, his friends had to resort to putting pot plants on his grave, as every flower in Moscow had been bought up for Stalin's funeral.
Wow, that's interesting.
We will listen to an extract from his ballet Romeo and Juliet. It is based on Shakespeare's play of the same name. It was performed by the Kirov Ballet in 1940 after several postponements. It proved to be one of his greatest stage successes. It is still regularly performed all over the world, and we will listen to an extract called The Knight's Dance.
Thank you.
That was Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, performed by the Cleveland Orchestra, conducted by Franz Welser-Moist. Keep on listening to TRP.